What's up, everybody? Welcome to Send It, the official blockchain and cryptocurrency podcast by OKX Insights. I'm your host, Adam, and I'm joined, as always, by my fellow senior editor, Hunain. Hunain, how's it going today?
Good, good. Thank you.
And we're also joined by our senior copywriter, Maxwell. Max?
Copy editor. I'll just edit copy that editor. Real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, very good point. Yeah, somehow I didn't notice that.
We're also joined by OKX's head of content and comms, Olivia, who's our boss. Olivia, how's it going?
Hello, friends. Good.
And our senior analyst, in-depth writer extraordinaire, Rick. Rick, how you doing?
I'm feeling Toby. It's good.
Nice. And our special guest today, I'm stoked to have on the show, is not going to make it, 0xngmi on Twitter. Also known by many just as Llama, who I'll let you introduce yourself, but real quick, you are the builder for DeFi Llama, the DeFi analytics platform, and also I believe the lead dev for the Tubby Cats NFT project, which we'll talk about. But I'll let you introduce yourself. You can do it better than me, so go ahead.
Oh, it's really just what you said. Like I did the code for DeFi Llama, and for the Tubby Cats NFT project, I just did the contracts. That's it, yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, the reason we wanted to have you on is because one thing we want to talk about on this podcast, which we'll get right into, is the Tubby Cats. Long story short, we all like the cats.
We like the cats.
We'll do a disclaimer here. All of us, except for Olivia, minted.
Who's the loser? Tubby Cat. But,
yeah. Olivia's not going to make it.
No.
Yeah. Olivia didn't take my alpha.
I'll try next time. I really will. Yeah.
But so the rest of us, we minted Tubby Cats. And I think, I don't know if all of us bought any on secondary. I myself bought 10. So take that into consideration when we talk about this. I mean, the intent here is not to just like shill Tubby Cats. Sincerely, that's not the intent. But as educated listeners, you can decide for yourself. But yeah, so we all like the cats, and
it might not be your intent.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, we're stoked to have a 0xngmi on, and I guess I'll just throw the first question, and then if anyone else has questions, they can ask you as well. So in the very beginning, there was an issue with the minting, right? And I guess to preface this, for those who don't know, the Tubby Cats project had a really extensive whitelist, which I think, and I think I speak for all of us, we feel that was a really good whitelist, because whereas most whitelists for NFT projects make you jump through hoops and like retweet stuff and do all this stuff, the Tubby Cats whitelist was essentially given to anybody who was holding NFTs of certain other projects, or from those who submitted their own Tubby Cat drawings were on there. So long story short, it essentially made it so that people could have a window to mint these NFTs without having to deal with bots and extremely high gas prices and all that stuff, which is great. But with that, there was a bit of a hiccup in the very beginning. I was wondering if you could tell us about that and how you resolved it, or if it just resolved itself. I don't really know. I'm curious to know how that went.
So essentially, like, the hiccup was that we used like a Merkle tree inside our contract, to essentially like hold like the full like set of like whitelisted addresses so people can mint. And we generated all the proofs, all the Merkle proofs that people have to submit when they mint, and put them on the front end. But when people submitted their addresses, some people might have like lowercase their addresses, like some people uppercase and addresses and stuff like that, so it was like not consistent. And then it was just like a small mistake that essentially like the file with all the proofs had the address, had all the addresses in like this inconsistent format. And then when people try to mint, we try to like match against those addresses. And like if your address was like a case, like a letter that was like cased differently from like what MetaMask would like provide the addresses, then it would just fail. So then what all that we did was just like lowercase all addresses and push a new update, and that was it. Yeah.
It's another benefit, yeah, cool, I guess, of having like the 48 hours for the minting. You know, there wasn't a lot of like stress really to get it, you know.
Because, the first few NFTs for like the ID thing were like airdrop as well. So there was no way, like even if you were the first to mint, you wouldn't get like the first IDs if people care about that. But I don't think it really mattered that much.
And can you talk a little bit more too about what happened? I know there was I think a relatively small issue where some people still couldn't mint at all because, if I'm not mistaken, it was like there was a space after their address in the spreadsheet or something. I don't really know the details of it. Could you share some more information about that and like what if you guys have any plans on how to fix it?
So there were like about 110 addresses. We had like our full main list was 19,500 addresses, right? And about like 110 of those, so I think it's like 0.5%. When they were inputted into like whatever they used to like track the addresses, they added a space at the end. So then what happened was that like when we were creating like the Merkle tree, those addresses got mangled. And then when people tried to mint, like it wouldn't work for them. So yeah, like for these people, they just couldn't mint. And the thing is that like I made this, in hindsight, this was a mistake. But I made the contract like way too unruggable. So then I couldn't change the Merkle tree after like the Merkle root afterwards to like point to a Merkle root that had like those addresses fixes. So like they just couldn't mint. And we'll just do something for them. Yeah. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, no.
Kami was in them.
No, awesome. So I also kind of wanted to ask a similar question. So these were kind of like hot fixes that you had to do as those issues presented themselves. But I'm also wondering, like, what are the challenges of coding and deploying a contract for an NFT collection as hyped as TubbyCats? Like, what are some of the key things? I'm sure there's a lot of technical stuff involved. You don't have to go into details for those. But what are some of the key behavioral things that you anticipate and expect from minters and kind of try to preempt them when coding such a contract?
Well, the TubbyCats contract is fairly straightforward since it's just like standard mint list through like Merkle trees. And then after 2 days, well, 48 hours, we just do a fixed price mint. So it's pretty straightforward that way. In hindsight, it would have been better to like add some kind of flexibility to the public sale part of the sale, since we actually like when we were like building the contract, like we're talking about these things, we considered that like doing something like Dutch auctions or some other kind of mechanism to avoid gas wars for the public sale. But we didn't go for it, and we just decided no, on just like do fixed price. However, later, and because of like public opinion, and well, it would have been better to like be able to change it, but yeah, it was code in place, so we weren't able to change that.
Go ahead.
No, I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, sure. I'm also kind of wondering, I'm assuming that the whitelist process, like because majority of the mints were whitelisted, I think that also simplified the contracts, coding and deployment, I guess, right?
Yeah. Like, to be honest, like the most complex part of all the contracts, the whole like sale and NFT, like for the NFT part, we just use a library. And for the sale, well, there's like plenty of example. Like doing like a fixed price sale in a contract is really easy. And there's plenty of examples of people using like Merkle trees. So none of that is like, it's pretty straightforward. That's nothing like complicated there. What's special about like our contract was the progressive revealing that we added in. This was, yeah, like pretty new, and most of my time like writing the contract was just like thinking about it, making sure that the distribution was actually like random, like it was a uniform distribution. And that it couldn't be exploited, like the mask couldn't be exploited, and that the code couldn't be exploited, or like it would do like weird things like repeat IDs or something like that. So I think that was like the hardest part. I'd say like maybe like 90% of my time was spent on that thing.
But yeah, I got excited.
It was new. It was something new, so yeah.
I got excited during the mint because I minted one successfully, and then I saw like on the front end, it said like after I refreshed the page, it had like I could mint again, you know? So I tried to mint again, and of course it didn't work, but I was excited for a minute, like, ooh, maybe I can mint another one. But I do think it's cool that, I mean, the goal primarily, right, was to essentially have as many people as possible whitelisted, right? To essentially minimize as much as possible like the public sale, which I think is great. And by the time this goes live, this podcast goes live, the public sale will presumably be over because it takes place. We're recording this on Wednesday and the public sale takes place today. And I anticipate that it'll probably just be botted like very heavily and they'll be gone almost instantly. Is that what you think as well?
It depends. I think like some bots, I actually don't know what's going to happen. I do think that like most map bots are risk averse. And here you don't have like, there's no way to like atomically make money because you cannot atomically sell the NFT, right? So there's like some risk involved. Also because if you send a transaction, like probably like you'll need to like send on like public RPC, so nothing like Flashbots, which give you like some protection. So when you're sending these transactions, there's a chance that your transactions land after the public sale has gone through, right? And then like this creates a pretty high risk of like losing a bunch of money. And so that like lowers the EV, and then you could make the point that people that actually want to mint them will actually be willing to pay like higher prices for them rather than like, I don't know, like right now they're trading for like 0.6 ETH. So like a mempool might be willing to pay like 0.3 to buy them, but someone that actually wants them might be willing to buy them for like 0.5. So I could see like people actually managing to like snatch them. But I don't know. We will have to see how that works.
So you last night, which was Tuesday night, for those listening later, you guys airdropped a load of Polygon NFTs to those whitelisted. Was that an effort to reduce the potential vector for bots to swoop in and mint the public mint? Yeah. I.e. to get as many people who were whitelisted minted as possible.
Yeah, the goal there is like we wanted to like, as you say, like reduce that. We wanted to have like a darker set of holders. So not just like, let's say you get bought in on like a bot that essentially like buys a bunch of them. That's something we would run about it. So we were thinking, how can we get like the message to these people? Because by that point, like, TubiCats were already like all over Twitter. We had like all the projects that could mint, tweet multiple times that you could mint. So we were I think if you were on Twitter, you must have already like noticed. So we think like, how can we reach the other people, right? And essentially like an idea was like, all right, so even if you are like not on Twitter or if you are somewhere else, if you do stuff with NFTs, you're likely to have like your OpenSea account with an email. So we did like the hack of essentially just like sending a bunch of NFTs to all these people and then just like bidding on them one ETH or something like that. So like they would get an email from OpenSea saying, hey, you got a bid of one ETH. Of course, I also like, I modified the contract of the NFTs. So people cannot actually sell the NFT. So it's just like baiting people kind of. But it worked and like people loved it. They were like, oh yeah, free like 0.7 ETH. So that was nice.
I didn't know that you'd put the offers in. That was a clever move.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was actually like pretty fun because it was a bit of a roller coaster. Because first I didn't know if it would work, right? So when you send an NFT on Polygon and like the person that triggered the transaction that sends the NFT to your wallet is not you, OpenSea hides them by default. So they won't show up on like people's portfolio. So like just spamming NFTs would probably not work because nobody will see them, right? And we're like, all right, so we were wondering like if OpenSea would also restrict like emails that they send, because all the people with all the spam that he generated from NFTs, I'm sure like all of you have gotten like a bunch of Discord messages and stuff of people like trying to buy like your NFT. So I was thinking like someone else must have done it and they must have like restricted the emails. But we were like, no, let's just try anyway. So we tried and it actually worked. Then I sent all the NFTs. And then when I went to like write a bot that would make the bids, it was just impossible because essentially first on Polygon, all OpenSea contracts, they're unverified. So there's no way to tell like what's happening then. And they have like no API, no SDK. They have like API and SDK, but like they only work for mainnet, Ethereum mainnet. For Polygon, they just don't work. So I had to like go into the front end, like send a few bits, try to like check like how the thing worked, like what type of requests we made, like essentially reverse engineer the bidding. And I just couldn't. I asked a few people, we got like a mini war room with like one of the JamXYZ founders to see if we could figure it out, like how they actually like the bidding works because it's different from mainnet. And we just couldn't. I thought like it was a dead end because the only solution there was to just like bid manually on the 5,000. So I was like, fuck, like let's just forget about it. And then like a few hours later, I was like, wait, and we could actually like ask people to manually bid on that. So I just like sent a tweet saying, all right, so if you manage to like bid on all of them yourself, we will give you like 5,000. And that actually worked. Like people just started bidding on them, but for a moment I thought like it was dead end. Like there was no solution then. But yeah, that was fun.
Can I ask what was the rationale for making the public mint up to 5?
I don't know. Just Radwell asked me initially, and they wanted the public mint to be 20. And then one day I was writing a contract and they said like, okay, can you reduce it to 5? And I was like, okay. So I don't know what was the reasoning. Yeah, I was just like, okay. And I just changed the number.
Gotcha.
Yeah. my role was like pre-code monkerish, as in it was like most of the work here was done by Radwell and the team who have been working on this for like, I think since September 2021. I was really just like involved this February because they wanted the contract. They were like, oh, can you build this for us? And I was like, okay, yeah. And then while I was with it, I thought like it would be cool to like do some new things such as like the reveal, that progressive reveal and things like that, which I think are good ideas. But yeah, and like the sort of like multi-sig, like dual ownership multi-sig, which, yeah, I think is also a good idea, but yeah, that's pretty much, I wouldn't consider myself part of the team, even though like these past years I've been like really involved.
Well, it sounds like you, your value has definitely come in solving these kind of issues after the fact. So, you know, with the kind of ingenious Polygon airdrop and, the problems with the mint. But, and also I'm waiting for the next reveal. My girlfriend has one that should be revealed in about, 150 more? Or
yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I was just waiting for it to like send a new transaction, like getting a new Chainlink request.
Yeah. And just keep hitting refresh.
Yeah, exactly. That just like literally that's how it works. I'm just like on Etherscan, just like refreshing the total supply.
You have that automated, like, though, or are you manually pushing through the reveals?
I'm just manually I just have to like send the transaction every like 1,000. So yeah, I thought I was like writing a bot, but it didn't seem worth it since I'm just like always online, and it just doesn't take much to just like send a transaction revealing. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw in Discord last night, or maybe it was the first night, you know, kind of like, a message that was like, yeah, the developer's getting sleepy, like, you know, we're going to
pause. The devs asleep.
And then, yeah, the devs asleep. But then like 3 hours later, you're just like up and like back to reveals.
Yeah, I didn't sleep much. Yeah.
It's game day.
Yeah, I imagine. I mean, like you said, like Ratwell and them, they have been working on it since like last September. So I can imagine like when it finally comes mint day, like how exciting that probably is, you know, like all hands on deck and like, you know, it's happening. And to that effect too, I want to know one thing that I like about the project, and I'll also pat myself on the back because I told everyone else here, you know, about it. But is that because it has been going since last September, and the amount of time that has been put in to sort of emphasize that quality, because as we all know, and many of our listeners know, I'm sure, there's like a million 10K profile picture projects. I mean, there's so many that it's like, and most of them are really bad. Like, objectively speaking, they're just like really bad. But with Tubby Cats, like, it was very clear that a lot of time and effort was being put in to make like all of them have a certain level of quality. And we were talking before we started recording that it's really hard to find like a tubby cat, right? That just like looks bad, like, because they're not there. There might be tubby cats that like maybe you don't personally like, or they don't resonate with you, but there's very few that like look bad because if I'm not mistaken, right, there, it wasn't really just a sort of like, you know, you have like 10 traits and 10 different variations of those traits. More than that, because it's more than 10K, but you know what I mean. And then those are just sort of like randomized, and then you can get like really jarring things that don't jive well, or things that just that don't look very good. And that doesn't seem to be the case with Tubby Cats. Can you speak more to that as well? Like, how was the process to make all of the NFTs like match, if that makes sense, like aesthetically match? So, you know, there's a lot of NFTs where like maybe they're simple and not particularly rare as far as the rarity statistics go or something, but the color palette will like all match, you know, they'll like all be like blue, so it still looks appealing. Can you speak more to that? Like the technical side of maybe the traits and the,
So I wasn't involved with that, but from what I've seen, like it was just a manual process. So they developed this internal website. I don't know if they're gonna like release it after Mint. Well, essentially, like they had like all the topic ads, and then people would click like, yeah, this one is good, this one is bad. So essentially, like they just went through like each single one of them and like verify if like they looked good or like they looked bad, and if they didn't look good, like what to change and all that stuff. So it really was just like just going through every one of them. And they built some internal tools for that. It's pretty cool.
It is cool, yeah. Because that's a step, you know, like in the process that the vast majority of projects don't take, right? They don't care if there's ugly ones or not. They just, you know, they just want to put them out and make money or whatever.
Yeah. I think that also is just like, you know, it's almost a artistic element to those random generations. So if there was a way to see, like, if my tubby cat had the specific artist's attention and be like, no, we changed this from a green to a purple, you know, that could add a value after the fact, or I mean, just value to the entire collection, because it wasn't just reliant on a random assortment of traits.
Yeah, I think it would make sense to release the website. Also, like, so other projects can use it, because, I mean, you've already built the infrastructure. And, like, there's literally, like, no use for it after you've built it, right? Because you're not going to, like, keep generating more of them. So I think it would make sense to, like, open source it. I'll talk with them. I think it would make sense. Also, like, it's when I saw it was, like, pretty cool to, like, see, like, how the process worked, you know, the inner workings. So, I'll ask them to, like, reveal it. I think they don't want to, like, reveal it before it's fully minted, since there's all the Tubi cats there, you know, and, like, it's cooler to see them appear as they get, like, revealed. So,
yeah,
like,
definitely.
Spoiling away. But, yeah, I think it would be a good idea.
I also like about the project is that you guys specifically have no roadmap. You know, I know we were talking about that before on our team, but I think that is a you know, somewhat nice to have just a project and have it, you know, completion and maybe as things come up to do something or let the community take it. But there don't seem to be you know, promises of future this or future that. But if you have anything, you know, roadmap wise that you can share, we'd definitely love to hear it.
I don't think I can share anything, no. I'm also like not that clued in as you might have expected.
So you can't confirm nor deny, or you don't know anything?
I don't know the plans.
Have you, you know, as the dev, have you had any encounters or experiences or whatnot with knockoffs already, like fakes? And if so, have you had to kind of do anything about it? Have you had to notify OpenSea or anything like that?
Yeah, so I think most of it, like the big issue was people just like spamming on Discord. Well, the typical, like, you know, hey, you're on this whitelist, and like it's a fake whitelist that steals your money or whatever. I think that was the biggest issue. However, I don't think it has impacted us a great. Like the mods on Discord were like pretty quick in deleting that stuff, and yeah, I think the process we went through with the spam for the Polygon spam could have been a little bit dangerous, since like, you know, anyone could have like minted those NFTs, so someone could have tried to like essentially just use the the fact that we're using that, like that it has like legitimacy because we're actually doing it for real, and then try to spam with like fake memes or something like that. But nobody has done it yet. I think it's partly because like they're not sophisticated enough to build contracts that cannot accept bids. And also like bidding is just like very manual. And part of it is just like probably nobody has thought about it. I also made sure to like to tell people to in everything, like in every website I've built, like the website that checks the whitelist and all that stuff, I never provide links to Etherscan or links anywhere or like any contract addresses. I just have like instructions telling people to go to the Discord and get them from there. The idea here was to like train users to never click anything on a website or like never take information from a website, but instead like just have all the websites point to like this source of truth. And I don't know if it has helped. I don't know if it hasn't helped, but yeah, that's the idea.
It helped.
Yeah,
me.
I agree with that. Even I had someone like on Twitter just like comment like, you know, is this the right collection with like an OpenSea link? And I didn't even open it. I'm just like, I don't know, like go to the Discord and find it in the Discord. Like that was my answer because like that's just how you should do it, you know? Like I could like verify for that person, be like, yeah, it's the right one or it's not, but like people need to know how to do it themselves, right? Otherwise they're just putting themselves at risk down the road for other things and getting scammed.
Teach Amanda Fish.
Yeah. Teach an anonymous Twitter user to check Discord once. Yeah.
I have a more general question about like the origin of the project or the origins or just sort of how it came to be, the idea, because obviously everyone in this call is very involved with this, and I'm not, so I don't know much about it. So could you tell a little bit of backstory? I know you said you weren't that involved in it, but just like some backstory.
Yeah, sure. So it started because there's like these, and this person on Twitter that goes by CL2007, and it has, you've probably like seen it, it's like a little cat in a hazmat suit. And I don't know how it started. Well, they and Radwell, they were like, they knew each other before going into crypto. I think they met because like they started talking on the internet about like health stuff. And so they already like knew before. And then at some point, people started like, there was this scheme, like this meme that came out of like calling CL and Topicat. I don't know where it came from. Like, I have no clue. It's just like suddenly like people started like memeing the phrase like Topicat with that. I don't know if it was like because of like VR, like the VR channel, like the VTuber that CL uses, but people just started memeing like Topicats, right? And then Radwell at the time, they had the idea to start a collection. And because they mostly had been working on like their own art, like one-ones, and they wanted to like build an NFT collection. And they asked CL, hey, can we build a collection of like Topicats? Yeah. They agree with it. And that's how it came to be. But yeah, it was originally just a meme. And I don't know why Radwell chose Topicat to be the collection or like, I don't know the reason why, but I think it was just that, like, they were friends. It was, like, a funny meme. And that was the reason, like, a lot of the things happening like Topicats is just, like, Radwell thinking that things are, like, funny and just doing them. That's the reasoning. Yeah.
Cool. And it's just gotten like really like organic support from within crypto kind of, which is really cool. Like, I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit, about the sort of reaction from the community and what you guys expected going into it versus what you saw?
Yeah, so personally, I didn't expect it to be so big. Previously when talking among us, like, the consensus was like, it was definitely, like, there was a pretty high chance that, like, it would mint out. We didn't really think that, like, it would not fully mint, for example. But I didn't expect it to, I guess, see, like, that much interest. I think a lot of it was just, like, people on crypto Twitter just liking the idea, liking this, like Radwell being like very crypto native as well. That really helped a lot. So I think, I don't know, I'm probably not the best person to like talk about this.
No,
and since I spend like most of the time just like looking at code rather than like being on Twitter and like interacting with people. But yeah, that's my read on it.
Yeah, no,
and for me, yeah, sorry?
Go ahead.
I don't know. For me, like, the thing that drove to it is that I had been, like, collecting myself and Radwell R for, like, a long time. Mostly just, like, the ones that they were, like, minting. I felt like it was really interesting. It was sort of, like, different from the typical NFTs that you usually see. So I thought, and Radwell being like very city native, and like, I think they have like a really good understanding of memes, especially on city. So I that's what drove me to it. And I think maybe that's what like also drove other people to it, but I don't know.
Cool. Yeah, that's what drove me to it.
I was going to say, honest, we can interview like Adam about the experience. Kind of.
Yeah. But that's why I got bullish on it. And I just like told these guys in one of our team meetings, I was just like, by the way, you know, this was like some weeks ago, like Tubby Cats, you know, look out for Tubby Cats. Because, I mean, I saw like, you know, the art drips coming out and I was like, well, these like look good. They actually look good. And otherwise I don't care about profile pictures, NFTs really anymore at all. But just the organic network effect of, which, like you said, with Ratwell being like crypto native and have a really good understanding of CT and have a very like strong, let's say, like network on CT. So Ratwell's involvement, your involvement as well, like that really drew me to it of like, I think this is going to be like legit. And not even, I mean, obviously, like I said at the beginning, like I bought like a bunch of them. And full disclosure, like there's some investment purpose behind that, of course. But I do think that like the pure like crypto native aspect of this and how much support it has, organic support, like not paid shill and not all that stuff, like organic support from like crypto Twitter as a whole, especially kind of like the wider NFT community, but crypto Twitter as a whole really speaks to like, it's just cool. Whenever there's something in crypto Twitter that feels like it's ours, it's very cool. And I think that Tubby Cats is one of those things where like the whole of crypto Twitter feels like it's theirs in a way that's similar maybe to like something like Loot. Like Loot was very crypto native and it felt like this is kind of like ours, you know, for a while there. I mean, there's other examples of things like that don't feel like, you know, they're not tied to some like third-party corporation that's just coming in and trying to make money off of NFTs, or it's not just some totally random person like making a crappy 10K project just that's going nowhere, which is a very legit, for lack of a better word, a very legit project from my perspective. Yeah,
I completely agree. Yeah.
Maybe on that note, maybe we should end it. And thank ZeroX, not going to make it, for coming on. Check out
Can I ask?
DeFi Llama. Oh yeah, go ahead, Max.
Sorry, before, just I'm curious, Llama, if you have a favorite Tubby Cat, or if you have one for yourself.
Yes. Well, my favorite one by far is the Absurdian one.
Which one?
Absurgin. So Radwell has this collection of art that they created. It's like the collection is called Absurdia, and it's this sort of abstract drawings with a bunch of lines, and all of them are also like black and white. And it's I really like it because it's sort of like trying to depict a world as it. Well, that's the way I see it, right? It's kind of like building narrative around like a world, sort of like when you see in the words of wave views and artists like that. And I really like that. And they, yeah, that's the one, I think so. And they built a Tobycat with the same sort of art style. And I'm a simp for like the Absurdy collection. So, I really like that one. But yes, some guy on Twitter like minted it, so I don't know what's gonna happen to it. But for me, it's like the best one in the collection by far.
That's the one the viewers won't know, but we were talking about it before we started recording. Rick brought it up and we were taking a look at it. It does look really cool.
Oh, that, yeah.
Really cool, yeah.
Already singled it out.
Right, so on that note, I'd like to thank 0xngmi on Twitter, that's the handle, for coming on. Check out DeFi Llama. Also, check out the Tubby Cats collection that we've been talking about. And yeah, is there anything else you want to say before we sign off?
No, that's good.
Cool. Well, thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. Go push that reveal.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And yeah, for those listening at home, if you're watching this on YouTube, you know the drill. Just like, subscribe, ring the notification bell, share it with your friends, comment. Do the same thing on any of your podcast listening distribution platforms of choice. And yeah, until next time.